May 5th, 2016 will always be in my memory. I had took a late afternoon motorcycle ride. I decided to get on the bike and blow off some steam and got on my bike and took off and went for a nice ride. It was cooler out, music in my helmet, Volbeat as always, and I decided to take a back road at the last minute. Came down Young Stitch and was only on for a few minutes and a car turned in front of me and we met.
My first thought was that he was crazy because it was cold. But it was like a normal night. He was going to go out for a short little ride and get his motorcycle time in. I really didn't have any worries or anything.
A conversation with the ambulance driver, with the ambulance attendants in the back when they asked me, what car does your wife drive? Because I was worried about Ann being able to find me in the hospital when I got there. And he said, what kind of car does she drive? And I said, a red Terrain. And he said, is she blonde? And I said, yes, she is. And he said, does she wear big sunglasses? And I said, yes, she does. He said, there's a woman behind us waving her hands and driving, and she fits that description. And I said, that's my wife. So the outlook to me was, I guess it didn't sink in until I was transferred to Rivers Bend, where I spent the next 3 months confined to a bed in a room. When I arrived in Rivers Bend, my main thing was is I'm just gonna stay in this room in my bed and not do anything until I'm able to walk and recover. My feelings when I was in there, I was more, there was never anger, there was never much discouragement, it was more of the unknown. There was a little bit of fear of what now? What about the bills? What about my job that I just started? What about Ann? You know, all these things are now falling on her. And I didn't know if I would ever walk again, or I wasn't sure of what the outcome was, but I was trusting God.
It was, I think I felt like, oh crap. This is a lot worse than I thought it was gonna be. But I really, just because he was alive and he was talking to me, I just knew that God was gonna carry us through no matter what, and he would be there and take care of us no matter what we had to go through. You know, whether we had bad times, good times, no money, lots of money, you know, whatever it was, he was gonna give us the strength that we needed to go through. And it was just really weird for me to have that much peace. It was always Troy that I looked to get that peace from, you know, to remind me of God's promises. And I guess all those times of reminding just were there when I needed him the most.
The idea for Broken and Teachable came as therapy for me. It started out with just me emptying my thoughts once I was released and home. I just wanted to dump my thoughts onto paper and in some ways find healing in that. But I quickly discovered that it was more than that. As I wrote and seen what was happening and followed God's leading, it became clear that it was his story. And I was just the person he chose to be in this story. My hope for this book, Broken and Teachable, is that someone comes to Christ. Someone that's at the end of the rope and reads this realizes that there are people that are struggling in life, that are facing battles we don't know of. God gives each of us a pair of shoes to walk in. And my hope is that through this book, they're going to find hope. And they're going to find a reason to continue, a reason to rise above it. And of course, the hope in my prayers that they find Christ.
Welcome to Stony Creek Church, and happy Father's Day. Just want to extend a special thank you to the fathers here today, and a blessing upon you. And I just encourage all of you to celebrate your father today, your dad, if he's still living, to do your best to get in touch with him, or if he's in town, spend some time with him and celebrate that gift of fatherhood, to recognize him, to remember the good things that he has done and contributed in your life, and, of course, to remember God as your Heavenly Father, who you have as your Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, we have a special treat for you today, being Father's Day. As you saw from the video presentation, we have Troy and Ann Naird with us today. Also, their family is with us over where? Over there. Okay, yes. Okay, we've got Chris and Alec, or Michael, and Brenda, who's a longtime person here, grew up here at Stony Creek Church. Troy used to be our drummer long time ago, and I actually had the privilege and honor of performing their wedding ceremony back in 2006, and that's when it was official. They were relocating to Bay City and wouldn't be living here with us anymore, but we've remained in contact and are still dear, dear friends of us. And today you're going to hear their story and have an opportunity to get their book if you would like to learn more. I found it fascinating, a fascinating read. I ordered it overnight shipping on Amazon so I could get it and read it before today. And so it was kind of a last minute thing, and I did, and it worked out, and man, I'm glad that I did. We've been learning in the book of Daniel the theme of the life of Daniel in the first six chapters, that despite circumstances, God is in control. Well, I couldn't have asked for a better illustration than Troy and Ann to come up and share, because their experience through this whole thing just really illustrates that and helps us to apply that great truth to our lives. And so I'm going to ask them to come up now and to have a seat. We're giving them the comfy stools because that's how we treat our guests, right? So you guys sit over there, and I'll take the hard one. All right? See if my tush can take it. All righty? And welcome. Welcome to Troy and Ann. Glad you could be here with us. Yeah. Of that fateful day, May 5th, 2016. Walk us through that. What happened? And go into a little bit more detail of how it all came down from each of your perspectives.
Started out for me just another normal day. You know, it was a day of work. I had started a new job, and I was working out of my home as an insurance adjuster, which gave me more time to ride. So I was excited about that. So it was late in the afternoon, and I told Ann, I said, I'm going to go for a ride, get blow some steam off, just go for a quick cruise. For some reason, I leathered up that day. I just put everything on that I would not normally wear because of sweating and everything, but the helmet was always a must. And I remember going to Ann and asking her if she wanted to go along with me, and she said, no. Not today, it's too cold out. 70-something isn't too cold, but she declined, which I'm glad she did, obviously. So that ride, when I took that ride, it was, to me, just my time with God. I would get away, smell the fresh-cut grass, you know, and just go and become one with him. He would show me things. We'd ride. Of course, I had my Volbeat going in the helmet, so it was all good. I just enjoyed the ride. The funny thing was, when I was nearing the end of the ride. I came up to Trumbull and 25 in Bay City. 25 will take you to Port Austin, which I rode quite a bit. And I decided instead of going straight, I wanted to take a little bit longer ride. So I went up 25, turned onto a side road, went on to Young's Ditch, started my journey down there, and moments later, there was a vehicle that turned in front of me, and impact definitely was unavoidable. And the funny thing I told Ann, and God brought this back to me, was there was two things that I said just before impact. One was, Jesus, my life is in your hands, and this is not going to end well. And I just remember the last thing I remember was like a hitting something, and everything went blank. You know, I was told I hit the vehicle and flew 30 feet in the air. I say I was carried and landed in the ditch with water. At the accident scene, just so happened to be an off-duty firefighter sitting at the stop sign who observed the accident. He jumped out of the car, slid into the ditch, and when I came to, he said he found me face down in the water. He slid me up and sat me. When I came to, I was sitting like this, trying to make sense of where I was. So I know that at that moment, when I woke up in the ditch, it was just very, I was disoriented. I didn't know what was going on. I knew my leg hurted. I knew water was floating below my belly. And I was like, what in the world's going on here? He stayed with me until the ambulance came and the rescue workers started sliding down in the ditch all around me, securing me to the board, and then, of course, lifting me out of the ditch. All those things just, you know, I think back now, and it's amazing that, number one, that I survived the accident, because a week later, while I was in the hospital, I've learned of another motorcyclist at that same intersection didn't make it. So it was a God moment.
That was the very next day, wasn't it?
Yes. The very next day.
Yeah,
on a motorcycle. And when we went back to visit that ditch months later, there was the cross for his marking.
Wow, it could have been you.
Could have been me.
Yeah, for me, I had to follow because they called. They called me, which I thought it was a telemarketer, and I ignored it. And then they called right back again, and I'm like, they're pretty persistent. I still ignored it, and then it went to a text that said that your husband's been in an accident, now I'm pushing the button. So they had told me that they were taking him to Covenant, and I ended up behind the ambulance, which was totally weird to me, because I didn't know where I was going at Covenant to find him. So I was right behind him, and when they pulled in, and they opened up the back of the ambulance, and there he was, you know, with his helmet still on, and he said, you know, my thumb hurts in my knee, but I flew 30 feet, and I'm all right. Okay. So, of course, when I called the boys, probably not a call, especially a stepmother wants to call his kids and tell them that his dad's been in an accident, but I told him the same thing he told me. He says his thumb and his knee only hurt. But they took him down for an x-ray. Come back and said his pelvis was broke on top of the thumb and the knees. And I thought, okay, I've never heard about a pelvis being broke. So what's that entailed? He said 3 months off your feet. Okay, no weight bearing. We can do this. So they took him down for the MRI. No CT scan. And they come back and said his neck was broke. And I'm like, his fingers are moving. His toes are moving. What does that mean? He said, worst case scenario, halo. Okay, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So they took him down for the MRI, and then they come back and said his neck was broken. I'm like, please don't come back. And he's like, we got him from head to toe, but now I had to call the boys. You know, and stay calm and try not to get them scared. Alex had already ended up there because, as always, he didn't listen. He said, no, I'm not staying at work, I'm coming. And the other two boys were already planning on how they were going to get up there, but having to call them and let them know that, okay, it's a lot worse than what I thought was probably the hardest part. But they were all there with me, my big support team. God certainly blessed me with them.
Yes.
Because they were through everything with me. But, yeah, so that was a little scary.
And that MRI also revealed a brain bleed.
Oh, that's right. It was a brain
which they
bleed.
Found, that was right. And that was their biggest concern was to stop the bleeding of the brain for swelling or anything to stop that. And that was a big one, for us.
That was a big one, yeah. Probably the one that still lingers on, he has the most trouble with.
Yeah, and like so many accidents,
It's not that bad. It turns out that this was a lot more serious than you thought initially.
I know recovery from reading the book was certainly no picnic. I remember reading your Facebook posts through those months. Tell us a little bit about what that was like and what was going through your head during that long time.
Well, we really don't have enough time for everything that was going through my head on that day, but basically for me, when I was laying there in bed, not able to walk, there were so many thoughts. What now? Why did you allow this to happen? What good can come from this? Father, I don't know if I'm strong enough. There was just many instances of dependence, reliance, control, all those things that you think you have, you don't. There's times when I think God shakes things up to find out where your foundation is and in who. And that I found out. Just, you know, the biggest thing was the future. What's that going to look like? I was not able to do anything. The weight of it fell on Ann, house, keeping the house up, trying to go to work when she was able to go back to work, knowing that I was stuck in a room with four walls. I did have a TV, and she brought all my movies up, so that helped some. And I had lots of support, lots of visitors, lots of prayer from this church, from Frankenmuth Bible Church, from Grace Church, all those pastors and people that came to visit. I remember my friend Scott took several trips up to hang out. I think we watched some classic monsters, didn't we? Yes. And the grandkids, that visit when they came up, and we went over to the recreation house, if you will, behind, because it would be easier for me not to have all that noise. Noise is a distraction for me now. Too much overstimulus becomes a problem. So what we did is took them in there and let them blow some steam off, and they did. And I stayed there as long as I could, and then I was wheeled back to the room. But, you know, it was through those times, though, laying in the bed with my four walls and a TV, and, of course, my people that took care of me, they're the attendants that were wonderful. You ring a bell, and they're there. Ann wouldn't let me bring the bell home. But she was also there for me. She was there in more ways than you could imagine. But that became a time of rediscovering God, who he is, what he means. And, of course, the most important thing for me was who I am in Christ. That became, I think, the platform that God used to teach me more about me and more about him. And that was huge for me. It was a time of just hanging in a room, listening, talking, and realizing that I'm not in control, but yet I'm not alone. So like you said, you know, God can use situations in your life, and when you're flat on your back, you listen, because you can't do anything else except look up.
That was probably my biggest fear. I really knew that God was going to take care of us through it all. I mean, he'd bring up, what about the house? And Troy, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. Everything always works out. He always takes care of us. But I can remember one time in the hospital room going to leave. And one of the things that always, questions that came into my head was, I wonder if she's thinking about us. I wonder if she's even thinking about what happened, you know, after that whole accident.
You mean the woman that...
Yes, the woman that pulled in front of him. And I left the hospital to go home and let the dog out. And I got home and I took the mail out, and there was an envelope that had handwriting on it. You know, normally they're all, and I open up the letter, and here it was, a 4-page letter written front and back of this letter. And I cried through the whole thing, and it was a letter from her explaining that she wasn't texting, that she wasn't on the phone, that she just didn't see him, and explained where her walk with God was, what her was, and that she just was wanting our forgiveness. She explained a little bit about her. I took the letter back up and said, look at how fast God answered that question, because I shared with him that I was wondering that. Troy always wanted to send her a letter, and he ended up too, but that was my big question. So it was like, thank you, God. Thank you for, you know, the one question that I had. But because my fears were more about his depression. That was my only fear. I didn't want him to settle into that, which thankfully he never did.
You know, that for me was...
I'm telling you, folks, if you get this book and you walk through the agony that these two went through, what they're saying here today is conforms to that perfectly, but you don't feel it. You don't get the impact until you read what they wrote. And by the way, Anne writes her reactions to Troy, and the kids all write their reactions. The physical therapist, the speech therapist, the occupational therapist, the counselor, they're all part of this. Writes a part of this book. Tell us a little bit about that fascinating story.
Yes, that to me is what we're called to do, you know, is to forgive regardless of what has happened. Could you imagine going to God for forgiveness? He said, nope, that's your fourth one today. You're out. You keep coming back with the same story. Get it together, Troy. No more forgiveness here. He doesn't do that. So, for me, I remember when I came to in the ditch, I was asking the attendant with me, how is the woman in the vehicle? He said, she is fine. Our concern is you. And I said, yes, but is she okay? And he said, yes, she is. I assure you of that. She's asking about you also. That moment in the ditch is when I forgave her. And the freedom, trust me, try it sometime. Someone's on your heart right now. Forgive them. But after I was assured she was okay, I did read the letter. Ann read that letter to me, which was a woman pouring out her heart. I decided, well, God insisted that it was time to write Laura back, and it was time.
3 months later.
3 months later. I couldn't write, so once I got home, it was probably 5 months before I reached out. It was just before Christmas.
Yeah.
And I typed a letter on the computer, printed it, and mailed it. Well, she responded. She was totally taken back and shocked that I forgave her. So it became clear to me when I was putting my thoughts that God said, Troy, it's time to put your forgiveness into action. So we decided that we were going to put that forgiveness into action and show Laura that she is forgiven, God loves her, and so do we. One of the ironic things about that is through our discussions, and I didn't mention this in the book, but one day Ann and I had went to get a tattoo, and she Facebooked me, and she said, I want to get a tattoo with you. And so I said, sure. And she goes, oh, wait a minute, let me think about that, because I don't think she expected me to respond that way. Must have been 20 minutes later, she sent me a tattoo and said, how about this? And so we share that tattoo that said, God has a plan. So we went together, got the tattoo, the three of us met, blew the tattoo artist away because he thought the tattoo was for Ann. And when I told him, you remember the girl I told you about that turned in front of me? He's also a writer. And he said, yes. I said, that is for her. He was speechless. She showed up. We got the tattoos, and now her and I have a constant reminder on those tough days that God has a plan. And that started with movement and action to forgive someone that has wronged you or hurt you unintentionally, intentionally, whatever it is, because we hurt God every day.
Forgiveness is probably, as God knows, one of the things that I have the hardest time with. You know, I constantly have to go to him and tell him, remind me that I need to do this. So it was much easier for him. I was worried about seeing her that first time because after he wrote the letter, he set up the time to go meet her. So in my prayer time, I was talking to God, and I just was like, you're going to have to help me through this one. I don't know how I'm going to react. I don't know what I'm going to do when I see her. Well, I felt God telling me, you know what, you need to bless her.
if you're going to do this, you need to go all the way through with it. So I came home and I said to Troy, I said, I think that we need to make a food basket for her and buy some gifts for the kids. She was newly divorced and struggling a little bit. So we went and got gifts and got a fruit basket, or not, no, a food basket, and took that to her. And, you know, I wanted her to know that we, you know, God loves you and so do we, and it's going to be fine. And she still struggles today, but we keep trying to assure her that it's all good. It's all good.
And, yeah, and there's a reminder in that, too, you know, being Father's Day today, you know, that relationship you have with God, your Father, should also be carried over to your children. Hug them. Love them.
Forgiveness can often be an issue between parents and children and vice versa. And what a story this is in this book. Tell us just a little bit as we kind of wrap things up about Broken and Teachable, how this became a reality, and what's kind of the main takeaway that if somebody buys this book, how is this going to impact them?
Well, that's a biggie. For me, I, again, like you heard in the video, it just started for therapy, dumping my thoughts. It was encouraged by my counselor and my therapist. You need to get these thoughts out. They were given to God every day, and I just started writing and just typing these words and going, and it soon became apparent to me that it was becoming God's story. It was becoming his story, how he can take something broken and restore it, how he can meet you right where you're at on nothing you can do, not in your own strength, in his alone, and he can turn it into something beautiful. You know, we think of Joseph when his brothers sold him into captivity. That was not a good thing. That was not a good thing at all. But look what God did with that. He moved. And it was kind of like an in-your-face to his brothers. But they came back to him, and look at the compassion that he showed them. You know, so, you know, it's also a story about trials. If you face a trial, they can be, you can get through that trial, not by your own doing and not by your strength, but by his strength, by his mercy, by his grace. So it's also a story of restoration, trials, how to beat them, the dependence, the power of giving, the power of receiving forgiveness. Like Randy said, when I asked Laura if she would like to share in the book what it feels like to be forgiven, she didn't even hesitate. She said, I will write something. And it was beautiful. I mean,
a very moving part of the book.
Yes.
Where the woman that caused this accident is writing about how it feels to be forgiven. It's just amazing.
Yeah, so she just, you know, there's, I think the general idea of the book to me is it's there for those that maybe are hopeless, helpless, trying to find out what it is in their life that has caused pain, what is those things that have put them where they're at. You know, maybe it's an appointment with God. You know, God allowed the accident, you know, and that was one of the big things I questioned him with all the time was, you knew May 5th, 2016, that I was going to take a ride, but you also knew how it was going to end, yet you allowed it. But the things that have come out of that, I would never trade. Never. You know, I walk with the limp. I have some issues from the brain injury, but I'm building models again. I'm painting models. I'm drumming in our praise team at church. You know, he just keeps showing me that he's in control. I'm not. And the quicker I realize that and the quicker I give that up, then he can move. And remember that for you. You can put up all the roadblocks you want. You can just wallow in your despair. Where you're at today, I don't know what anybody in this room is going through, but he does. And just remember, it's not by your will, but by his will, that he'll give you hope. He'll restore the brokenness into something beautiful. That's the theme of the book.
Amen. Great. Hey, I wish we had more time to talk. The book, you got some copies long.
How much they go for a piece?
There were $15.95, but 15 flat.
No tax.
No tax.
All right. 15 flat, no tax. I paid a lot more than that for my copy. So I want a signature on this, free of charge, okay? Well, they're back over there at the table. Traumatic brain injury is what this dear man has had to suffer through. And one of the things she says in the book that just really got to my heart, she says when she was taking care of him, she kept saying to him, you know, when he was saying, oh, this is so hard and you're doing so much and everything, she kept saying, I can do this for the rest of my life as long as you're with me. That was powerful, really powerful. This is a love story. It's not just a story to develop your relationship with God. It really is a love story. Okay, well, God bless you. Thank you so much for sharing.